Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Reveille, reveille, reveille!
Friday edition here on Zero Blog 30, and today we have two rounds in the magazine. Round number one, our show today is going to be about an absolute legend. He was in the military for a long, a CIA world guy. He was so close to Osama bin Laden that he could have hit him in the head with a big old stone and killed him. We're going to talk about his long career of military service, and it is absolutely insane. His name is Billy Waugh, and he is a legend in all kinds of communities. Kate, fire through some of his awards that he has.
Okay, Combat Infantryman Badge, 2 awards, Special Forces Tab, Master Parachutist Badge, Military Freefall, Jump Master Badge, Gold Jump Star, 5 Combat Jumps, Vietnam Parachutist Badge, Silver Star, Legion of Merit, Bronze Star, 3 Oak Leaf Clusters, Purple Heart with 7 Oak Leaf Clusters, Air Medal. A Purple Heart with 7 Oak Leaf Clusters.
I know. Jesus, I'm glad that stopped you in your track. So that for those civilians that are listening, an oak leaf closer means another one. So he has a purple heart with 7 oak leaf clovers. That means he has clusters, 8 purple heart.
They actually gave him a tiny rake because the leaves would get so, and he'd yeah, rake all the little yeah, leaves
they
back.
They should. Yep. On a little wheelbarrow going yep, across.
Anyways, Air Medal, Army Commendation Medal with Valor Device, 3 Oak Leaf Clusters, Army Presidential Unit Citation with Oak Leaf Cluster, Good Conduct Medal, 7 awards. Look at him with the good cookies. See, there's mm-hmm, nothing embarrassing about that. Army of Occupation Medal, National Defense Service Medal with 1 Bronze Service Star, Korean Service Medal, 3 Campaign Stars, Armed Forces Expeditionary Medal, Vietnam Service Medal with Arrowhead Service Device, 6 Service Stars, Republic of Korea Presidential Unit Citation, Vietnam Presidential Unit Citation, Republic of Vietnam Gallantry Cross Unit Citation, Republic of Vietnam Civil Actions Medal Unit Citation, United Nations Korea Medal, Vietnam Campaign Medal, Republic of Korea War Service Medal.
Just the campaigns alone, yeah, that's 15 deployments. Yep. 15.
And dem's a lot of stacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lot of stack. And when we get into what he's actually done, it seems like that list is insufficient, honestly. Like, with
you know
some
what?
Of the things that he did,
Chaps,
bananas.
We can get into it. In actuality, when you take a step back and you realize that all those awards, someone has to, like, put in the paperwork. So there was probably mm-hmm, so many times he's like, nah, I don't feel like doing it.
The paperwork guy was probably like, yeah, great. Lost
here we go again.
His
S1's worst night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here we go. William Billy Waugh.
Oh, wait. Round number two.
Oh,
we have
shit.
Good Initiative, Bad Judgments of the week. We're going to have a couple stories that are Good Initiative, Bad Judgment.
For us, golf is simple. It's a chance to get out and have some fun with our friends. But inevitably, little things have a way of ruining it. The group ahead is taking forever. You can't find the fairway with a map, and the bev cart is nowhere to be found. And the best way to make a bad day better is Fireball Whiskey. You get their nips, the little shooters. They are great. Makes bad day way, way, way better. Make sure to grab the new Fireball Birdie Shot Club. It's literally a golf club filled with Fireball nips. Put it in your bag. It'll fit right in that side pocket. Drink Fireball nips and have a great time on the golf course.
And then we're going to decide which one is the Good Initiative, Bad Judgment of the week. Following that, we're going to do a little bit of Katie's news roundup, and then we'll do some save rounds and alibis. Now, let's get into round one. What do we got here, Catherine?
Yes, round number one, William Billy Waugh, a famed Army Special Forces soldier and later CIA operative, passed away this week at the age of 93 years old. And as you'll see in the next few paragraphs, never should have made it to 93. Should have been gone around 21. Never, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Born in December of 1929 in Bastrop, Texas. And that's the Hill Country, right? That's out in the Hill Country outside San Antonio. And he was drawn to the military at an early age when he was just 15, when he came across 2 Marines and was inspired to enlist immediately. And I think this is what we need. Instead of uptight recruiters running, we need the coolest, handsomest, and hottest, and whatever, Marines just out walking the streets, chilling like a Book of Mormon type deal.
The fellas with real tight trousers that show off the exact outline of their cock.
They'll give you some dip. They'll give you some cigarettes. They're cool, man. They skateboard.
They skateboard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm
just
saying.
What's up, fellow kids?
Oh, hello, fellow teens. That's what we need is more of this again. Anyways, he meets these 2 Marines at age 15. He's like, oh my God, I have to be a Marine. He is too young, so, and he's like, I got to do it right now. He's too young, but he hears that the age to enlist in California was only 16, so he makes his way to California, but he's stopped by a police officer in New Mexico, and they're like, go back home to your mom right now. So he gets stopped, but that only delayed his career by a few years. As soon as he was old enough, he joined up.
Can you guys imagine that? That's my daughter 2 years ago. Like, the think of her hopping in her car and being like, you know what? I'm going to go join the Marines. I'm going to drive to California, Dad. I'm going to do it from there because I can't join at 15 here. It's just unfathomable.
I'll say this. Today's day and age. When I was 15, 16, I thought of myself as older, and that was completely wrong because I've recently gone back to my high school because I have friends who coach now, and I look at kids who are that age, and I just think, my goodness gracious, you are so tiny and so young, yeah, and you know nothing.
You feel old, right? And you're just a baby.
When you're a kid, you think you have the world all figured out at 15, 16, so I get it from his vantage point. But if I saw a 16-year-old coming to my platoon, I'd be like, no, sit in the back and do paperwork.
Yeah.
Cons and I were texting about that kind of thing the other day, where when you're 14 or 15 years old, it felt like it was forever to get to 14 or 15 mm-hmm. years old. Now I had that 14 or 15 years old. I have been married for 14 years. And then in between that, I have an additional 14 years. So there's been a whole lot of change. And the first 14 easily feels like the lungs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just waiting, because you just want to be old enough to be able to eat junk food for breakfast.
And drive.
You know, you
yes.
just want to. Yeah, and drive. But anyway, he is old enough, so he enlists right away as soon as he's old enough, and he deploys to Vietnam for the first time in 1961 and then again in 1965. In June of that year, he was helping lead a special forces team alongside a South Vietnamese volunteer force during a raid when he was shot 3 times, and his Captain Paris Davis, who was his team leader for that mission, got the Medal of Honor during this mission. So 1965, his A-team is conducting a raid on the North Vietnamese Army unit in Bong Son. And intel said, hey, this is going to be easy peasy. There's a couple hundred troops in the area. You guys got this. Well, they were super wrong. Turns out there were over 4,000 North Vietnamese troops in the area. I always wonder, like, after that battle is done and you walk back into the camp, you're all bedraggled, and there's the intel guy being like, hey... Hey, yeah. Sorry about that. Oh.
I don't know if I've ever heard a story of like the intel people being like, oh, we expect 30 people. And you show up and there's 30 people that are there.
Yeah.
Like it's almost always wrong.
But this was way, 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 way mm-hmm. wrong. So anywho, during the raid, Billy Wall found himself out of grenades and nearly out of ammo. And on the way to a predetermined exfil point to get out of there, he was hit in the knee by a Soviet-made RPK. Crawling along a levee, he was hit again in the foot and ankle. And
five times now he's been shot.
Also, the knee, foot, and ankle are some of the most painful spaces I can think to be shot.
Not to mention, kind of makes, walking difficult.
Yep, right. So he's crawling along this levee now. He's been shot 3 times in the worst possible spots. He gives himself a shot of morphine from his little medicine bag, but the pain was so much it did, like, nothing. So now he's fucked on morphine, and he's trying to crawl to this exfil point. The troops were soon in danger of being completely overrun, and at that point, he gets shot in the head and knocked unconscious. And in an excerpt from his book, Hunting the Jackal, he wrote, I took another bullet, this time across the right side of my forehead. I don't know for sure, but I believe it ricocheted off bamboo before striking me. It sliced in and out of a 2-inch section of my forehead and started to bleed like an open faucet. It sounds like a punchline to a bad joke, but you know it's a bad day when the best thing about it is getting shot in the head. Like, compared to the other things that happened to him that day, he's like, scratch on the
forehead.
And he's right.
Like, if you get a cut on your forehead, that shit bleeds a lot, and it bleeds for a long time.
Mm-hmm. And so he passes out. All the blood loss, everything that's happened. At this point now, he's been shot in the head, and his body gives out. He passes out. And that was the best possible thing for him, because next thing you know, the North Vietnamese overrun the position, and they think he's dead. He's completely mm-hmm. limp on this levee. They take his Rolex watch, his clothes, they strip him naked, and they leave him there. Now, his teammates come through afterwards. They find him. They're like, oh, my God, he's still alive. And they get him out of there alive. And it was because he was unconscious that he survived, ultimately.
That was like the ultimate game of possum. He was just really, really good at it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he ended up getting a Silver Star and a Purple Heart for that. And by the way, you know those dudes still roasted him for being found nude. They're like, hey, nice butt cheeks, Wall.
Nice fucking dick.
Yeah. So Anyway, he spent the remainder of 1965 and 66 recovering at Walter Reed Hospital in Washington, D.C. However, as soon as he was released from the hospital, right back to Vietnam. He's like, more please. I'll take more of this. He joined, it was called MAC V SOG. I'm sure a real person would be like, we never called it that. It was some other thing. It's an acronym for basically the hottest of hot shit special forces dudes from across all services. So Navy SEALs.
They probably didn't even make them do NDOC. We're like, how many times you've been shot? Six?
You're in. You're good. Yeah. But who would be like Marine Corps MARSOC, the Green Berets, Navy SEALs, in the Air Force, Delta Force, like all those guys. They conducted dangerous missions deep in enemy.
Pararescue for the Air Force.
Yeah. And then the Space Force Jiggly Jubes.
That's right.
We're also there. The Fliegenflubens from the Space Force.
Also, they came back out with their pants again. They look like fucking Tracy McGrady in the 2003 NBA draft.
They're never going to figure that shit. Who's designing these? It's like the general's mom is like, I'll do it. Anyway,
it looks like you went to a third grade class and draw some uniforms, and they made some big ass pants, and they're like, let's go with it.
Anyway, he's in this super super duper high speed unit now, and they're conducting these over the fence operations, basically the craziest shit you could possibly do, and it was 100% casualty rate. So you were either going to get hurt or injured. Every single time you went outside the wire, it was going to be one of those two things. And they were all still doing it. And I feel like at this point, if you're one of these guys, something has flipped in your head and you're like on another level. You don't give a fuck what the war's about. You don't want, like, you're doing this on sheer. You're like an adrenaline junkie to the max or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Can I just say one thing I noticed too from his quote here? He said, everyone in the outfit was wounded once, twice, three times. I feel like we don't use that word anymore to describe anybody in the military. Outfit.
Yeah,
it's like an old in the outfit. That's like an old time, like, special operator word. I never came across that word when I was in the military.
Yeah, he also said if you were going up there, you're either going to die or get shot to hell. And they were just like, fuck it, let's go. Sergeant Major Billy Wall conducted the first combat high altitude, low opening halo jump into enemy territory in 1970. He also led the last combat special recon parachute insertion by American Army Special Forces halo parachutists into denied territory in 1971. He was basically like one of the pioneers of halo jumps and crazy like drop in parachute shit, which also is not easy on the body, especially for a guy who's taken an RPK to the knee and whatever.
Right. Think about all the things that we're going through. This dude so far in the story has been shot six times. He's done all kinds of other stuff, found naked, stripped down, Rolex watch going, and he still lived to 93.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's kind of crazy.
And also, they found none of it service connected, they said. Right. They said, any aches and pains you have, sorry, that must be, I don't know what that is.
You must have happened after.
Yeah. He, after recovering from his injuries from that tour, he goes back.
I got a little tinnitus.
You must be listening to your headphones.
You must have been mowing your lawn too loud.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Should have worn headphones, devil.
But he goes back for several more years. He just went back and back and back and back to Vietnam. He retired in 1972 as Sergeant Major Wah. Imagine being like a young PFC getting in, the war's over, and you show up drunk to, and you don't know who Sergeant Major Wall is.
Yeah.
I imagine he was able to chew some people out pretty fucking good.
I bet he didn't have to. I bet he walked into a room and everybody shut the fuck up.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you know, there's certain people that have that level of respect that you walk in, it's just like, like Sergeant Major Black that I just talked to, like a couple weeks ago, Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps. He has that presence. Like, there's certain folks, when you walk into a room, everybody else notices that person came into the room.
Mm-hmm. We had a couple of guys who were grunts that got fapped over to you who were like sergeant major level, and they were so impressive and such good leaders. Like, you would do anything not to disappoint them. Like, anything. You're right. So I'm sure that was the case here. Again, Silver Star, 4 Bronze, 8 Purple Hearts, 4 Army Commendation Ribbons, 14 Army Air Medals, Presidential Unit Citation. Just an absolutely incredible career. But guess
what? And that's only in the military. The military career.
He wasn't done. First, he gets out. Quick, slight detour for him. He joins the U.S. Postal Service.
That's a natural progression. Special Forces to the Postal Service.
I mean, have you seen some of these Dobermans that get loose?
That's true.
You need some skill.
I'm going to be a mailman, but I feel like that wasn't satisfying him. So he began working for this.
I'm sorry. Now that I think about it, that maybe does make sense, because you go from like such a high octane profession. You're like, you know what? I just want to walk peacefully and deliver mail. I just want to go the opposite. So that kind of makes sense, maybe.
I get that.
You'd also be bored out of your mind.
Probably what happened and brought him back to the next part. Go ahead, Kate. Mm-hmm.
In 1977, he gets recruited by a former CIA employee to train special operations troops in Libya. So at this point, that CIA guy was like a contractor for the CIA, not quite CIA, but he's like, I know a guy who can help me with this mission in Libya. And
our guy's like, thank God I can't deliver another birthday card.
Yeah, he's like, it's fucking killing me.
This was before Amazon Prime, so it was easier then.
Right. Once he was in Libya, though, the actual CIA was like, this guy's fucking good. Come with us. And he got plucked for actual CIA intel work. And he would go to these countries, Sudan, Egypt, all the countries of Africa, and he had this tiny little secret camera, and he would take photos of places that the U.S. and U.S. intel had never been before. He said, I became really good with small cameras. I learned how to brief well, and I was excellent with maps. It became a pleasure to do the work. If you get killed, that's just tough shit. Sure, Billy.
Okay, that's an attitude to take.
And the world needs people like this. Like, what?
They really do.
They really do. The U.S. needs people like this.
Introducing High Noon's all-new Vodka Iced Tea. It's time to finally ditch those sugary malt-based teas and try High Noon Vodka Iced Tea made with real vodka, real iced tea. It's non-carbonated with no added sugar and 90 calories. High Noon Vodka Iced Tea is great for any occasion under the sun. Comes in four delicious flavors you gotta try. Original, peach, lemon, and raspberry. Visit highnoonspirits.com to find a pack near you.
In this capacity, Wall spent the 80s and 90s tracking down both Osama bin Laden and Illich Ramirez Sanchez, known as Carlos the Jackal. In 2001, he was just a couple months shy of 72 years old when he became one of the first CIA members to enter Afghanistan alongside
72 years old.
I think of my like sweet mom and dad, like when I go down to visit, and I'm like, I can't picture you in the hills of Afghanistan.
So he can go in, he can go in tactically to Afghanistan while also getting the discount at Golden Corral.
Yeah, and he said it was crazy, like hunting, and basically he was hunting for Osama bin Laden.
Yeah,
he said it was crazy doing that because about a decade before, during intel work, he was so close to bin Laden he could have killed him with a rock.
That must be.
You think you've got regrets? Should ever have any. He spent his later years as a speaker and generally a legend in the special operations community. Once you get used to that, a life of adventure, you're not about to quit, Wah said in 2011.
Oh, wait. I've heard that story about being able to kill bin Laden. And that's when Clinton had the opportunity to have bin Laden assassinated after the 1993 bombing of the World Trade Center. And he had the ability, and Clinton said no, that it wasn't a high enough value target to do that on foreign soil yet. And so the guys were like, no, we could do this. We could take him out right now. He's a small level leader, but he's rising in the ranks. And they said no.
Talk about butterfly effect.
Jesus. And then Bush W. had the opportunity when he first came in, and he also said no. That they had the opportunity to strike them before it happened. But there were so many reports coming in about that kind of stuff that they sort of brushed it off to the side. Like, oh, we've been hearing these reports forever. Then the next thing you know, it happens.
That's back when they asked Taft, would you kill baby Hitler? And he was like, no, it's just a baby. What can he do? And then, you know, I probably have my timing way off on that. Anyway, what a life. What a life of service. What an incredible human being. And what a legacy Billy Waugh has left behind. Pretty incredible. And I'm sure a huge inspiration to anybody aspiring to be Special Forces, anybody in the Special Forces.
I think that's a detriment. If I read this story, I'd be like, I don't want to do any of that stuff.
I could never live up to it. But thankfully, we do have people that are like, fuck yeah, that's exactly what I want.
So, rough men and women ready to stand the watch.
I had no idea who this gentleman was until this week. And I read up on him. But I had a buddy who was an operator who reached out to me. He's like, hey, you got to talk about this guy. Everybody knows about him in the special operations community. He's a big deal.
I'd heard of. I mean, he was like a household name, kind of. Like, I knew the name as soon as I heard it. I was like, oh, yeah.
I wish as soon as we hear stories like this of somebody this age with that level of experience dying, I always have immense regret that we never got them on the show.
Yeah.
Like this one would have been amazing to have him on here and telling us stories. But now we get to do it. I just wish we'd got it from himself. Mm-hmm. But what a legend across the board. Yeah. That being said, before we move on to round number two, you have to cast somebody to play him in a movie. Who are you casting? I'll go first because I just posed it to you guys.
Well,
Kanji, you look like you have an answer.
I have a question. Are we is the movie set in Vietnam? Is it set in 2001 or is it set in all of them? And we got to like do prosthetics and makeup.
Set all of them. Okay. And they'll just add makeup to make them look older as the time goes on.
Okay.
So my answer is Tom Hardy. I think Tom Hardy would do fantastic in that role because he's rough and tumble. He also has a face like kind of that could mix in a little bit more. Like if you had like a Brad Pitt or Tom Cruise,
it's too pretty.
Think that they stick out a little bit more. Tom Hardy is a guy who currently takes, I think he's a purple belt in jiu-jitsu, so he does all that kind of shit anyway. Tom Hardy's my answer.
I'm going to go Millie Bobby Brown. I'm going to do a women's remix of the film, the ladies' Ghostbusters. I already know she looks badass with a shaved head. She can do action roles. Yeah.
And then we could bring Demi Moore back. She could be the older version, shave her head too, have her tell somebody to suck her dick again.
Makes a lot of sense.
I don't know. I thought Robert De Niro, but I think he's too old now to play it. But he did play.
He's like 98 years old.
No, I know that, but he was in the movie. Same age. He was in the movie with Zac Efron, Dirty Grandpa, and he played a special forces, an ex-special forces soldier. So that's what maybe is what I'm getting hung up on. But I like the idea of Tom Hardy. I think that's a great answer, Chaps. I might go with that as well. And that's mainly because I can't think of anything else right now. I'll probably think of somebody in an hour.
But Tom Hardy was a good answer. It's going to be hard for somebody to beat it.
Yeah,
you know?
That's a great answer.
All right. And you could also have like Daniel Day-Lewis. He could mix in any role. He could do anything you want.
Jeez, cons. What about Mickey Rooney?
No. Well, hey, actually, I just thought of another one.
What about The Undertaker?
I just thought of another one. And actually, I think we're going to get into one of these later. Actually, I thought of two. Jake Gyllenhaal or Miles Teller? I still like Hardy.
I think Miles Teller's a little pretty.
Maybe.
A little pretty, and he's already Air Force, sorry. Or Navy, pardon me.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, let's move on to round number two. What do we got here, Kate?
This is Good Initiative, Bad Judgment. Chaps perused the interwebs and found three different stories of people who... people who meant well... but ultimately, bad judgment. A good reminder as we head into a holiday weekend to use your better judgment.
All right.
First up, police in Pennsylvania say that a man, after yoinking a giant carrot from an Easter display at the Clearview Mall in the city of Boulder, got into a big kerfuffle. He caused a big old mess. Pennsylvania state troopers responded to the mall after the giant carrot was reported stolen, and a security guard stated he chased the subject in a dark red Chevy truck into the parking lot, where then he proceeded to try and get in the door, but wound up getting dragged a quarter of a mile at up to 35 miles an hour. Thankfully, the guard was not in. Listen.
Yeah.
It's all great to protect the mall. For a big, giant foam carrot, buddy, let it go.
Yeah.
That might be $1.50.
Let it go.
I'm sorry. I'm going to go out on a limb and say the Pennsylvania state troopers, state police have better things to do than to apprehend this gentleman who stole a fake carrot.
And I feel
when
like
that guy's like rolling around the old parking lot.
Let him have it
by his hand.
Yeah.
He's got to be thinking like Joe Bluth, where he's like, I've made a huge mistake. I mean, a quarter of a mile at 35 miles an hour and not being injured is pretty remarkable.
It's pretty remarkable. I picture like the Paul Blart kind of guy. He was on the Segway holding onto the truck going. Yeah. And I feel like the state troopers are probably more mad at him for creating an incident than the kids who stole this giant carrot.
They were probably parked across the parking lot just laughing at this dude getting dragged around because he wanted an orange carrot stuffed animal.
Right. And it turns out it was too. Well, young adults, I would say. They found after a tip, police eventually tracked down the giant stolen carrot at a home in Chicora, Pennsylvania. Officials say two males aged 20 and 18 confessed to taking the carrot. Neither was taken into custody, but charges will be filed against them. In my teens, I stole a mannequin. There was a giant light-up ice cream cone at Dairy Queen that I still, to this day, it's still there, I think, about stealing. Teens steal big foam things, man. That's just what we do.
Yeah.
One of my friends used to work at Showbiz Pizza. You guys familiar with Showbiz Pizza?
I've heard of it. Yeah. Isn't that the rat?
Yeah. It's kind of like off-brand Chuck E. Cheese a little bit. So one of my friends worked there, and I always loved the tables because it had a big old Showbiz Pizza rat that was on the big table, you know, and those tables that have the thick layer of epoxy that's on the top. I was like, can I have one of those? And he was like, we got extras in there. We took it out back, put it in the back of my truck, and then I went, and that was my desk at for school and stuff. I love
no
it.
No harm, no foul.
Do you guys see 20 and 18 now, maybe because I'm 38 now, but going back to what we were talking about earlier about younger people, I hear 20 and 18 and I still think of that as a kid. I know legally you're an adult at 18, but I feel like 20 and 18, I'm like, ah, it's a kid.
Yeah, when I was in college, we were stealing shit from people's yards and stuff. Nothing crazy, but like you had something funny and foam in your yard, we were probably going to take it on the walk back home from the bar. No offense, or from the home from the party. Like, I don't know.
I mean, I don't think you're an adult until you're 25.
Yeah.
I think 25 is the real
when you
number.
Can rent a car.
Right.
Yeah.
Once, 26. If Hertz trusts you, then I'll hurt. Yeah,
that's
you.
The barometer, Hertz.
Because anyway,
Hertz to join
it's
the military
exactly.
9 years before you can rent a car.
Yeah. So I would say good initiative, bad. I would say good initiative to the carrot stealers, bad judgment by the mall cop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would say good initiative, bad judgment on both because I love a good foam carrot. And I also love to chase people down, but you can't do it over a carrot.
No.
You just can't.
That's true. That's true.
All right, what's the next one?
Up next,
more
I love
stealing.
This guy. a 31-year-old man has been accused of stealing a forklift in downtown Portland, Oregon. He finds this forklift at the top of a parking garage in a construction zone. He hops the fence into the construction zone, hops on the forklift, crashes through a chain link fence and a bunch of other shit, and then takes the forklift down 6 stories of a parking garage. Which is a lot of swirling in a
no,
forklift.
Please read this whole line. Read this whole line.
It reminds me of that scene from Austin Powers where he's trying to back up the little cart, back and forth, but just with a forklift.
Well, he swirls it down the 6 stories of the parking garage, and then once he hits the street, he proceeds to chase pedestrians while, and I quote, laughing maniacally. Police say Joffrey Zielinski stole the substantial piece of construction equipment, and a witness said they saw him drive onto a sidewalk while laughing and yelling, "I literally stole this."
His NCOs could not be reached for comment.
I love him. Officers caught up with him while he was driving the wrong way down a one-way street, and then the suspect did a U-turn, lowered the forklift fork, and proceeded to drive towards the cop car.
Yeah.
Like he was going to pick up the cop car. The cop car, the police officer who was in the cop car said my cop car is about to get hit by this fucking forklift. Uh-huh. Thankfully, the guy stopped. They arrested him. Yeah.
But who hasn't thought about doing that?
But I'm telling you, this is part of my
adult. You never thought about stealing a forklift, Kate?
Oh, I've thought about it. That's what I'm saying. I had one night in Philadelphia. I went to see Francis do a show down in Philly years ago when he was like brand new at Barstool. And after the show, I was like, oh, I know this bar. And I was taking him the back way in my little creepy alleys that I know down there. And we found this giant.
Did you
giant
take him to see street art on the way?
Well, I found a construction zone with a giant, giant dirt pile. And I was like, hold on, Francis, I'm going to climb around this pile. And he was like, what? Anyway, it was real weird.
And Francis is the last person who would be crawling through dirt.
No, he was not. Site. He was not into it. Anyway.
But what about those big caterpillars, right? Like a big old dump truck club. If I had the opportunity, I know that there was going to be no repercussions. I would love just to go out and have a good time with one of those.
They have those now, chaps. That this would also be a section of my adult amusement park because they actually do have these now where you can go. I know they're out in Vegas where
like a bulldozer.
Yes. You go into this like massive park and you get to operate all this heavy machinery. There's an actual thing.
Do they have the one with the big old rock that you press the concrete down?
I'm not sure.
Like, you know, the big old circular cylinder?
I want to take my son there.
Yeah.
Anyway, this isn't the first forklift-related incident in Portland recently. In 2021, Jeffrey Allen Brooks, age 29, found a forklift on the waterfront, and he told the police, someone forced me to take it with a gun. He said someone was like, you better get in that forklift and drive it around town. And so he said he did.
This recruit was told.
He was charged with theft.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'd say good initiative, good judgment.
Yeah, I would say that too.
That's just a fun time. He didn't hurt anybody.
I was just going to say nobody was hurt. So, you know.
The only problem is the price tag that's there, Cons, is 80 grand. Mm. That turns that into grand theft.
Yes, that's true.
But you know what, though? Everybody's always looking for a good forklift driver, a certified forklift driver. And I feel like if I was trying to employ someone, I saw that in the news, I say, buddy, you're hired.
She doesn't know I'm a forklift driver.
Right. People don't realize I'm a certified forklift driver. All right. Up next.
This is not good.
This one is rough.
A man watched his penis turn black and rot after he injected it with cocaine. The horrifying tale was reported by doctors in New York. They said 35-year-old unnamed man turned up at an ER in Bronx Care Hospital Center in agony. He had spent the past 3 days in excruciating and worsening pain in the penis, scrotum, groin area, and right foot. And I'll tell you this much. Go to the hospital after a half a day of excruciating penis pain. Don't wait three. No, I'd say a half a day is about enough that I would need to be like, you know what? I need to go get this checked out. Something's real
best
wrong.
Case scenario, you need a shot. Yeah. Get rid of your STDs.
So the pain started immediately after he injected the class A drug cocaine into the dorsal vein of the penis, which runs the length of the shaft. Didn't know you guys had one.
Oh, big time. When I was reading this story and I was like ejecting cocaine, I thought immediately he did it into the big dick vein because it's so easy to find. Like if you've been doing coke and
you have to have a boner to find it?
That's a problem. Like, I mean, it's not that difficult to achieve one of those. Just turn on a specific portion of the internet. You can get that going. I bet like jerking off with a cocaine cock is awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. I just can't help but think of from Chappelle's Show when Charlie Murphy said cocaine's a hell of a drug. That's just all I can think of with this. He was probably just very, very high and decided, hey, where else can I put this stuff?
He had blown out all the other veins, and so that the dorsal vein. I wonder if you guys used to have a fin on that thing.
I wish we had a dorsal vein.
Yeah,
a little. I mean, if I was swimming in the ocean and just going back and forth, that might be what Michael Phelps does. I bet he has like a dick flipper.
If you think about it, the penis is kind of the dorsal fin of man. If you're floating on your back swimming.
Yeah, kind of like a dog's tail. That's why I still think that people should have tails. It would be so much easier to tell what kind of mood that they're in. Like when Kate signs on to do the podcast, if she's in a bad mood and her tail is straight up and it's not like a wagging around, I know Kate's not to be fucked with that day. If I walk in and Khan has his tail tucked between his legs, I know Khan's feeling nervous about having a baby. You know, like all kinds of
tails.
Shit. You can tell so many emotions just by tail usage.
Mm. Anyway, he had an ulcer. The shooting the cocaine into his penis gave him a bad ulcer with foul-smelling serious discharge necrosis. That penis was rotten off. But they said, let's cut this tissue off your penis. He said, no way. I'm not trying to hurt my penis like that. And so he refused the treatment on that, but they gave him antibiotics. Who knows if he still has a penis or not? Let's hope so.
Yeah, if you're listening, if that guy's listening to the pod, send Cons a dick pic at cons@barstoolsports.com. Yeah. And that really goes to anybody. If you want Cons to check out your penis, he'll rate it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
No, I won't.
Absolutely.
No, I won't.
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Chi's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3Chi.com. That's 3CHI.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code BARSTOOL20.
All right. Finally, my fourth and favorite story of the day. Oh, and by the way, that's bad initiative, bad judgment.
Yeah, I agree.
Don't do that. Yeah. Okay. Finally, from CNN, members of the FBI and the U.S. Army Special Operations Command who were conducting a training exercise in downtown Boston raided the wrong hotel room and detained an innocent Delta Airlines pilot before realizing their mistake.
I bet if you're a pilot too, you think you're getting kidnapped to go do some terrorist shit.
Yeah.
Like if you're there and you see people storming in and you're a Delta pilot, I bet you think immediately, oh shit, they're going to have to do some nefarious things.
This is it. Yeah.
The FBI said its Boston division was helping the military with a training exercise around 10 p.m. Tuesday to simulate a situation their personnel might encounter in a deployed environment. Based on the inaccurate information, they were mistakenly sent to the wrong room and detained an individual, not the intended role player, the FBI said. And I know we used to do a lot of role player stuff where actual Afghan Americans would get paid to come into these little Afghan villages on Camp Pendleton and like
Mount towns,
and they were instructed to not give up the role,
never
no matter
character.
What was going on, never break character. So I imagine they arrest this guy and he's like, I'm just a Delta Airlines pilot. They're like, sure, bitch. Oh, I bet you are, bitch. And he's like, no.
Not double locking his handcuffs and putting them up by his neck. Yeah. Like, ah.
Yeah. Or her. Could be a lady pilot for all we know.
True. Yeah.
Sorry. Excuse me.
I apologize for being sexist.
Thank you. First and foremost, we'd like to extend our deepest apologies to the individual who was affected by the training exercise, said Lieutenant Colonel Mike Burns, who I bet, man, oh man, that makes for a long night.
That you got to get relieved, right? Like somebody there is getting relieved, and not saying this person did a bad job or anything like that. Somebody's getting relieved because if you have that level of embarrassing type of moment and it makes the news, somebody's got to pay, unless it's the Afghan withdrawal.
Well, also, too,
if it's something that big, you don't have to pay.
The incident took place at the Revere Hotel in Boston Common, which
I've stayed
is a very
there.
Nice hotel.
I've stayed there.
It's a nice hotel,
yeah.
Is it not?
Yeah, it's very
That's
nice.
That's also a very – the hotel puts a lot of trust in the – okay, we're going to let you do this here as an act of, like, goodwill.
That's
and who knows
crazy
what the deal was.
That they would allow that.
Because that hurts their reputation then big time. Apparently, Revere could be heard going down the hallway saying, the FBI is coming, the FBI is coming, before the door got busted down. So I guess maybe the pilot just wasn't listening. That was a joke by me.
I get it. I like that we're doing these real-world exercises, but I just feel like it could have been a little bit more controlled. Like, this shouldn't happen. And God forbid, who knows? He could have been doing any number of things in that hotel room.
Jerking off. Well, or putting cocaine into his dick.
Seriously.
This is the crazy part. If you read earlier, that training exercise was happening around 10 p.m. The police officers, police were called to the hotel at 12:20 a.m. Wednesday. So what, were they slapping this pilot around in there for 2 hours? That like, stinks. What the fuck?
Like waterboarding him and shit?
What the fuck was happening in there for 2 hours while they...
Hey, trying to get information from him? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm about to go up on the loudspeaker and tell everybody to put their seatbelts on because we're getting a little bit of turbulence. I have no idea about any national security secrets.
Who does this gentleman sue to get a massive settlement?
Joe Biden.
Probably.
Because honestly,
he's ultimately
like,
in charge.
Yeah, it's
true. Psychologically, this will jack you up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Psychologically, this will get you. But I would love for something like this to happen to me before the payout. That's why I always stomp
it's
across.
A great story for the pod,
yes,
too.
Yes, Kate, go
ahead. I always stomp across manhole covers. Uh-huh. I always stomp across old rusty cellar doors in New York because that's the dream.
Yeah.
That is the dream, to fall through, get a little hurt, and get a big payout.
Yep.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
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 Shout out Liz Gonzalez.
Yep. Yeah, hit by a car. God bless. Seems not fun, but you know.
Yeah. All right. That's it for today. We're going to move into Save Rounds and Alibis. But before we do that, I need to tell you something, a little programming announcement. I know it's going to make a lot of you sad boys and girls out there, but we are moving to one episode a week starting next week. It's going to be on Wednesday is going to be our release days. We'll do a little bit longer show than we have been doing since it's going to be one day a week, but we'll be able to have really, really good shows and tight shows because if you are a military person and you're following military, there's just not a lot of good military stories out there. And we don't want the podcast to be something that we just throw together. So we're going to do it one day a week and we're going to make it really, really good. We can't wait for you guys to see how that goes and we can't see you. Nope, we don't have to go next time. Let's do Save Rounds and Alibis.
Or we can do the news roundup first.
News roundup.
Fuck, that's like 4 weeks in a row. I've forgotten. Let's do the news roundup.
Yeah, first off, Chaps, I'll leave this one to you.
I'm putting myself on fire watch.
All right, hey, listen, that is admirable that you would, you know, that's called accountability. Proud of you.
Yeah, I'm going to do, and it's a lot, I'm going to do from midnight to 3 a.m.
Wow.
Okay.
A shift and a half. Nice.
Stay alert. That's the hours the FBI will bust into your room randomly sometimes.
I hope
so. Stay alert.
I want to get paid.
News roundup number one. Chaps, I'll leave this one to you. Washington Post had an editorial this week that was so dumb. I get it. Editorials are for opinions, and it could be good opinions and bad opinions. But this was a big time what the fuck. Go ahead.
Yeah, so we talked about it a little bit ago when the Congressional Budget Office said that they were looking at a wide array of ways to cut the federal budget down, which is something that I support. There's so much bloat in the federal government and the federal budget that we could do that for sure. Well, this one of the ways that the Congressional Budget Office said that we could do it was by rolling back some of the VA benefits and the way that we issue those benefits. And one of those ways was with a means test. A means test is a way to go through your finances to see how much you're making on your W-2s.
Basically, if you're making more than $400,000 or more than $100,000 a year, right?
They it's $170,000 a year.
You so weren't going to get your benefits anymore.
Yeah, if you got $170,000 a year, then it starts to reduce the amount that you're in. Yeah. Well, it's stupid to have one at $170,000 because they're acting like that's a ton of money. And most places across the United States, household income, $170,000, it's fine, but you're not rich.
No. And that's household. That's combined. And guess what? Your fucking leg is still missing and you're still in pain at night. So whatever.
And that's the big point that a lot of veterans were making. It was the point that I made. Like, the things that you're going through, the disability payments, is not because you are disabled. It's because of what happened to your body as a result of being in the military. Therefore, the payments are earned. It's not a benefit that they have the ability to take away. It was on your contract when you go in, and it's an expectation that when your country sends you to war over a period of 20 years, they pay for it whenever you come back. There's all different types of wells that you can get this money from, and to come after veterans because the cost of veteran care is going to skyrocket. It's going to skyrocket because Congress kept approving the annulments clause where they could keep sending people to Iraq and Afghanistan for a time period of 20 years that cost $3.5 trillion, and now you don't want to pay for the $100 billion or $200 billion, $300 billion. If you didn't want to pay for that, don't pay for this. You broke the boat, pay for the boat.
Yeah. And the editorial just had a lot of really, like, clearly they knew this was not a veteran, right? Like,
not a single veteran. It was a collection of folks.
Not a single veteran. Yeah, it was a collection of
veterans. Washington Post opinion editorial staff. And they all, every single one to a T, and I don't shame anybody for having a good education. Cons went to West Point. Francis went to Harvard. We're friends with a lot of people who had high level of degrees. That being said, if you went to Cornell, Princeton, Brown, Harvard, Yale, Cornell, that's their education on that board. If you went there and you never served, I never say this, but it's high time for you to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, they were just so you could tell the way they wrote, like, they just were so disconnected. I don't think a single one of them is even friends with a veteran or knows anything about the military or anything people go through. Like, it was so out of touch with our reality that it was just like, how could you put this up without even finding a veteran to read it for you and be like, nah, I wouldn't.
That's the other thing. I thought, like, the fact that they wrote it, okay, but the fact that it got out the door and got published, I think there are still some publications in this country, the Washington Post being one of them, that still has a decent enough reputation to have some journalistic integrity, and they just completely abandoned that by allowing this to get published. Because I think anybody with a brain could read this and be like, wait a second, we can't actually publish that because it's ridiculous. So,
but then my dumb media brain says they just really needed numbies that week.
Clicks, yeah.
Yeah, and so they were like, fuck it.
But it's not, Kate, that's the same week that Trump got arrested and indicted, yeah. So I don't know if they needed the clicks that week. But either way, just a bunch of dummies across the board to do that. But shout out to the Democrat House Arms Committee came out with a statement on this, and they're like, that Washington Post article was absolutely egregious, and there's no way we would even entertain
something. Yeah. Sorry, last thing I'll say, and we can move on. Go read Chaps' blog about this. Chaps, I thought you did a great job writing about it. And the last point I'll make, too, that it's just like, I think this is the biggest hole in that whole, like, oh, if you make X, what if you lose your job and then you make zero, right? Like, so
then it's more.
And you got to wait a whole another year for the means test because it only happens. How many people would they have to hire?
Right.
Like that, even that's a one for one. Like, you would have to hire thousands of people to go through and see how much money people make. Not only that, but you also have one last thing, Kate.
Yes.
All these different houses that people have bought based on that payment, all the different cars, all the different ways that people are paying
factor into their budget.
Yep. Dude, when if I'm buying a house, which I am right now, I don't say, you know what, I'm gonna throw this VA money off to the side.
Yeah,
I'm
not
even
gonna
count it in my mortgage. Get the fuck out of here, man. Permanent and total is permanent and total.
Amen. All right, up next, movie magic. It's been less than 2 years since our botched withdrawal from Afghanistan, but yet there are already three movies in the works about it, and all three revolve around the idea of the noble U.S. service member on a mission to rescue the interpreter and other Afghans who served alongside them, often at great personal risk. And I, one of the movies 3 months after the withdrawal was already like optioned from whatever studio. I hate this very much because yes, that was a thing that many truly noble service members were desperately and at great mental and financial cost trying to get their people out of Afghanistan. And there are incredible stories, but I feel like that's what we keep doing. We take these big mistakes in American history and we find these cute little, not cute, but these little
nuggets,
shiny little moments. And we say, look at, wow, that's America. This was the best thing that we, like, I it made me want to throw up my shoes when I saw that three different movies with big name, Channing Tatum, Tom Hardy, Guy Ritchie's making another one with Jake Gyllenhaal. Gerard Butler is in another one. And it's like, somebody make a movie about what the fucking Afghans went through, just focusing on them. Somebody make a movie where it didn't work out and they didn't get their interpreters out and what the fuck happened, which was the case for most of us. Like, I just hate it. It's like the, I don't want to say like whitewashing is not the right word, but the like the American, happy American
it's
image.
Just glossing over.
White knighting, I guess.
Yeah.
Like I hate it.
Taking a step back, like,
not
going to
watch them.
You know, I hate it because number one, I like all those actors mentioned and I think they would portray service members well. But you got to think about this too. Like, all right, they're all starting to come out, but the idea of the movie, the pre-production, the production of the movie, this all had to start months and a year ago. So like everything was still kind of going on, still warm. Like nothing has been settled. There are still, I think, scenarios that are still in flux right now with some of these individuals.
Yeah.
So I just think it's a little inconsiderate to jump the gun to the extent that they did. You know, maybe 10, 15 years from now, just like movies were made about, you know, Vietnam in the 80s, you know, Platoon comes.
I was just going to bring that up, Con. So like whenever, I remember when Black Hawk Down was made, it was made in 1999, what actually happened, the Black Hawk Down mission in Mogadishu was in 1993. And so that's 6 years later, 7 years later, whenever it was done. And I think it was actually released at theaters in like 2001.
Yeah, 2001.
Or something
that.
But doing that, I remember the people who had been that were in Black Hawk Down that they were like, it's way too soon.
Yeah.
Man. Like, this is too soon for this to happen.
It feels
I think
gross.
There should be a 10-year like, waiting period at least.
Yeah. It's like a rush to be the first to make a money grab off a really amazing story. Right. Like, I don't know. It just, the whole thing feels gross. And I'm also fatigued with it. Like, you guys know, I don't watch war movies or any of that shit. Like, I've been out for 10 years now and it still feels, I still have a difficult time looking at my deployment photos still. And it's been 10 years. So like,
those people in the Afghanistan withdrawal, there's a movie about what's happening with them before their VA benefits will be finalized.
That's my point. Right. Like, it's still all in flux. So how are you already making a movie? And you started a year ago starting to make these movies. So, yeah, not exactly excited, despite who's in them.
What's Unless next? There's a nude scene, show me some dick and then
maybe show me
I'll
some
take
titties
a
or some cock and I'm in. Thank I'm addicted you. To saying cock, by the way. I apologize.
It hits it's, like a hammer, doesn't it?
It really cock. Does.
No pun intended.
I love the dorsal fin of a cock. Anyway,
oh, yeah.
money, final one. The U.S. will send Ukraine about $500 million in ammo and equipment. Even though we talked about in previous episodes, we don't have enough of our own, but that's, who cares?
But you love to be generous.
Sure, feels great. $500 million in ammo and equipment, and then $2 billion with a B more to purchase an array of munitions, radar, and new weapons to help Kiev counter drones in the coming months. And basically, it said, we're dropping all this money on them, $2.5 billion for that spring offensive. Everybody loves a good spring offensive. You got to come out with the freshest fits. You know, the weather's getting nice again. You got to have the cutest drones, all that good stuff. So
brand new optics.
Yeah, I was watching, that's a lot of money.
I was watching Charlie Wilson's War. Great movie. But again, just similar, like where we're funding things that are going on. I don't know. Maybe this is the rare cynic in me that doesn't often come out. But I don't see this ending well for us, unfortunately. I don't know how it's going to end or where it's going to go from here.
No, this time it's going to be different.
No, okay.
This time, whenever we get involved with another country's war, it's going to be different.
Totally.
Let's move on to save rounds and alibis.
Okay.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
All right, let's move on to some save rounds and alibis. Connor, we'll start with you.
Cool. Obviously, I'm dressed for it. So excited. This is like the first real weekend back home in New Jersey that we got golf going. There's been some sporadic golf here and there, but this is full blown getting back into golf season here in New Jersey, which I'm going to try to jam as much as I possibly can before July, because I don't know what's going to happen once I have a child in that
regard.
Yes,
you do.
The clubs are going to get put away. So I just don't know if it'll be like I get to bring them out again in like August or September or 2024. I don't know. So
Would absolutely pile drive you if you were trying to go to the golf course after you guys just had a baby.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine the violence that would be inflicted on your person.
I'm so scared of her. So scared of her.
You should be.
All right. Yeah. That's basically all I have. I have some other things, but they're not time sensitive. So I'm going to hold on to them. But I'm just very like my mood when I have golf on the horizon is just skyrockets. So I'm just so excited in such a great mood. You could probably hear it. Here I am, very excited. And we got the Masters.
Yeah,
this
Masters
weekend
is always special.
Napping background sound. Great.
Really, yeah.
Find me a better nap
birds
noise.
Chirping that they have going on. The
Wait,
fake birds are wonderful.
Those are fake?
Those are pumped in like crowd noise.
Yeah, some are fake, some are
Shut
real,
up.
But they definitely boost it up. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of them are fake at this point because
Why?
They know it can sound so much better.
Oh, because it sounds better. Yeah. So Kate, I don't know if you realize this, but like the Masters controls everything. This isn't like the PGA. This isn't the USGA. It's not a network. The Masters runs the entire broadcast. So you might see some familiar faces, but it's the Masters that's in charge of everything. And they
can have full creative control.
Right. And they think of every detail down to what
so
is
so they're
going
like
to
the
like.
Guy in the Truman Show watching
yeah,
from
really
above
100%,
making
yeah.
they're the
I mean it's a
it
place
rings.
That you have to check your cell phone in like they're the
oh,
ones
yeah.
that make all those rules. They keep the beer prices. I think the beer prices are like $3. The
yeah.
pimento cheese sandwiches are like $1.50.
I was listening to another podcast and the person said if you ordered one of everything on the menu you'd spend $66.
I would.
That's it.
I mean, if it's only $66, that's like two beers at a regular game.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. That's absurd. So absurd. Like I'm going
Holy
to
shit.
I'm going to UBS Arena here in New York City out on Long Island next week, and I already know like the price is there, MSG. It's just absurd. It's like
it
I don't
really is. We should boycott.
I don't know how you get it back to a reasonable number. Like who wants to pay $18 for a beer?
Buddy, I used to work concessions in Philly.
Right.
And do you know who the Philadelphians would take it out on? Me.
Yeah,
I'm like,
right?
I don't
cool.
set the prices, dude. I just, I'm,
I
so, I'm
feel
sorry.
I so
for you.
Bad for like yeah. the service industry that people, like, you think the lady at the counter at fucking Zara is the one that's controlling these
right.
coupon prices? Yeah. She has nothing to do with it.
But it sucks then at the stadiums because nobody wants to leave tips then. It's like, sorry, I would leave you a tip, but I just paid $20 for this shithole beer.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway,
basic economies, supply and demand. Like if you had, like if you had beer prices, if I go to a place there's $18 beers, I might buy one, maybe two. But if you drop that number down, I'm definitely not buying two at $18.
Oh, the danger is if I go in the building already drunk and then I get a case of the,
whatever.
I say,
oh,
fuck
yeah.
it, I'll get 20 of these.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I was at the Barclays a couple weeks ago for a game, and I was on the floor. And, you know, they have the girl that comes by with the little reader and the waitress, whatever. I got a round. I got a beer and a cocktail for me and my buddy. It was $55.
That's insane, man. Just Hurts. Insane.
Anyway, Brandon Walker will be down at the Masters. He's going every single day, I think.
Talk about someone that just doesn't belong. He's kind of lower tier. I just see him getting himself kicked out of Augusta.
What?
I just
feel like, Brandon Walker?
Absolutely.
I don't see him
no,
going to watch
he's a classy
stroke.
Guy.
No,
I
he's
think
not.
He's going to be at the concession stand just crushing pimento cheeses. I don't know if he'll even go and watch any of the golf.
There's a lot of worms in this.
And I don't blame him. They have that. And I'm a big egg salad sandwich guy, and I heard they are divine.
I could just picture him sitting crisscross applesauce next to the concession stand like, well, no. I'm done with that one. Better go get me another pimento cheese.
You don't like the idea of me eating egg salad sandwiches and a little venison on the side?
No, I hate
meat
that.
Sweats going.
Oh, egg salad and venison. Let's go.
The thought of egg salad being Guinness? Caught in your beard makes me want to throw up in my shoes. No.
Now, that's a little gross.
Yeah, that is gross. Even in my own house, because I do love egg salad sandwiches, if my wife comes upstairs and I've been making it, she'll be like, you motherfucker.
Oh, yeah. Chaps, I didn't realize this. You. Do you know I'm not allowed to eat eggs in our house?
Right now or
no, ever. She hates the smell of eggs so much. I'm not allowed to make myself eggs. I can get them when we go out to a restaurant for like brunch or whatever, but even then I still get a side eye. I cannot
even
make
like
eggs.
Scrambles?
No, scrambles are a little easier to stomach for her, but by and large, I cannot eat eggs around her.
Definitely not hard boiled then. Hard boiled is the stinkiest.
Can I comment here real quick?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm also banned from all food in my house.
Yeah.
I thought we lived in a one bedroom apartment in Brooklyn for about 2 years, and I was told countless times that once we moved into a house that because the smell would have more room to go, that I'd be able to cook whatever I want. I may be allowed to cook like three items, and Chaps, you'll love to hear this. They're all sandwiches.
Yeah.
There you go. What are they? What kind of sandwiches are we talking?
I mean, I eat all sandwiches, ham sandwiches, turkey sandwiches, everything.
Italian, gabagool on there.
I'm not allowed to cook because she says that the house smells like if I do like Brussels sprouts, like I can't make Brussels sprouts in my house. Right. I'm not allowed.
Well, where do you guys cook?
That's my mom made my dad. No, my mom made my dad do anything stinky on the grill. She's like, if you want bacon for breakfast, you got to go out and make it on the grill, Joe.
Who doesn't like the smell of bacon?
It'll be snowing out and he'd be out there with mittens on. He'd be out there with like mittens making Brussels sprouts, bacon, whatever. Yeah.
I
thought the closest Annalise and I ever got to divorce was probably whenever I had a low country boil inside. And I didn't even think about it, but she came home from work and I had made this awesome dinner and it was going to be delicious. And she walked in and she was like, why does our house smell like Badoosie?
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not sure.
It's bad.
It's me. I made you dinner.
Yeah.
Kate, what about you?
Gosh.
Don't.
I know. So Easter weekend. Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's
very
this weekend
excited.
Too. Yeah.
This is the first year he's like cognizant of it. And I'm going to hide these eggs so fucking hard. He's going to feel like a real dope when he can't find them.
We doing plastic or we doing real eggs?
Plastic, but I also do the Eppers with the real eggs, but I think he's a little too young still. You guys ever play Eppers?
What's that?
Oh, I grew up playing it. I read it's like a Philadelphia / like Polish kind of thing, but I'm not Polish.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
You hard boil eggs. I made all the guys on the Yak play it. You all decorate and hard boil your egg, and it's like a race car. You decorate it however you want. You zazz it up. You snazz it up. And then you all go out in the backyard and first you cup it in your hands and you like rock, paper, scissors for who gets top, who gets bottom. And you clink the eggs together down this line. And whoever's egg is the last ones that are not cracked, then they face off for the finals and they have to roll their eggs towards each other until they hit. And whichever egg is the last egg standing. And there's always one that's the strong egg that makes it through the whole thing. You're the winner of Eppers. That's it.
Do you win anything or it's just... pride.
It's more of a pride thing. Then you get to throw all the eggs at your brother.
That's cool.
That's good.
Yeah, it's a real treat. It's a good time. So I'm excited. And then I'm taking him to, this will be my, I've been like many times now, but Fifth Avenue in New York City, St. Patrick's Cathedral, you know, right there, Cons, that big, beautiful, everyone knows St. Patrick's Cathedral.
Yeah.
Every Easter Sunday from like 10 to 1, they shut down about 4 city blocks and the police cordon it off. And everyone from all the boroughs, there's drag queens, there's Upper East Side fancy pants, like whatever, but it's a bonnet parade. So everyone dresses in their fanciest Sunday best. And then the hats, the bigger the better. There's like 10-foot wide animatronic hats with like real chickens on top. And it's like at the derby hats, people wear crazy derby hats. It's like people wear the craziest shit. People do entire whole costumes and everyone's on the steps of St. Patrick's Cathedral and blah, blah, blah. But I took my son last year and he had so much fun. He was like in my backpack, the little hiking pack, like reaching for everyone's hats.
Does
and, like,
he still
whatever.
Fit in that?
Oh yeah. Up to 45 pounds. That's
oh wow.
So anyway, and he's only like 25.
Yeah.
I know. So yeah, tell him to hop on in. But anyway, it's one of my favorite New York City. There's certain moments in New York City where like all the people from all the different neighborhoods like combined to such a unique thing. And that's, it's always such a good vibe. So I love, it's one of my favorite things in the city. So I'm taking them to that. I'm looking forward to it. That's it for me.
Excellent. Yeah. That'll be good. You guys want a quick Easter fact real quick?
I love a good fact. Yes, send it.
So do you know where the word Easter comes from?
No.
No.
It comes from a pagan god named Ishtar, and Ishtar was the Greek was a god of fertility. So at initial young Christian church about 40 AD, they celebrated Palm Sunday still, and then Resurrection Sunday was the two holidays that they really studied. Well, at the time, whenever Babylon was going in with another strong empire, they mixed the two traditions together, and so you had the pagan holiday of Ishtar, the Christian holiday of Resurrection Sunday, and they married the two together to have a joint ceremony so that everybody could be involved and everybody could have a great time.
That's excellent. That's excellent. I probably learned that somewhere along the way in grammar school, Catholic school, but I think that's fascinating. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, who knew? Right.
It's on the retreat.